This is the Kinky Cast. This is an adult, sexually explicit podcast. If you are under 18 years old, please stop the podcast now. This is episode 46B of our weekly exploration in the kinky world of BDSM and alternative relationships. Views expressed are not representative of the management of the Kinky Cast. In today's part 2, we continue to go beyond 50 with your host, Kate Kinsey.
In this episode of Kinky Cast, delving into kinky erotica, we've got a field correspondent, Kimiko, who has her own website, powerinpractice.com. You can find a link for this and a whole bunch of other stuff I'm talking about on our website at kinkycast.com. But she is our field correspondent, and she's talked to several authors, including Tammy Jo Eckhart, who has written a lot of different things. But one of the things that caught my attention is actually a sort of a fantasy sci-fi called Beyond the Softness of His Fur, which is, I'll let her explain it. It sounds really interesting, and I've gotten started on it, and I'm liking it. It sounds a little different, but it is. It's also very creative, and it's very erotic.
Hi, this is Kimmy from powerinpractice.com, and I'm here with Tammy Jo Eckhart. Hi, Tammy.
Hi.
Here we are on the Kinky Cast. Do you want to tell the listeners a little bit about yourself?
Sure. I'm the head of a poly family. I happen to be a woman who identifies as dominant as my principal sexuality instead of like heterosexual or bisexual. I've been a published author now for almost 2 full decades. I love conventions. I'm a complete geek. I'm a trained historian. Gamer, I mean, I'm a complex woman.
Wow, very complex. Gamers and geeks are cool, so there's always that. So you said that you write. What kind of stuff do you write?
I write what I call edgy fiction. I write stories where I'm driven to explore a specific idea or concept or to tell a certain narrative, and then I choose the genre that fits to tell the narrative. So I write in science fiction, fantasy, historical fiction, an entire collection of stories set in like Bronze Age to Classical Age Greece, some contemporary stuff, and then some horror things as well. But most of the time, what I write gets classified by other people as erotica.
Okay. Most of the stuff you write, is there a kink element to most of it?
I would say that most of my stories deal with one or two things. Either power, personal power, and how that helps people grow or how it hinders their growth. And the other thing it tends to deal with is surviving against the odds.
Okay. Do you have anything out recently that you'd like to pimp or anything
well,
like that?
The final book of my Circle at Press trilogy just came out in July. The trilogy is called Beyond the Softness of His Fur. And I'm told by my editor over there that soon, meaning, yeah, I don't know if that's going to be a month or 3 months from now, all three books are going to come out in one single paperback version. And so I'm kind of pimping that at the moment.
Sure.
And letting my agent do the other pimping for me to other publishers.
Yeah, that's cool. So what is the, you said the book title is Beyond the Softness of His Fur. Can you give me sort of an idea of what that book or trilogy is about?
Yeah, it's about the growth of two main characters. Emily, our principal female character, who is a human who works for a corporation whose life is deeply controlled by this corporation to a degree that she herself is unaware of in the first book. And the main male character named Wynn, who is an anthropomorphic creature designed by science to be sort of the perfect pet slash sex slave that her company forces her to buy. And the book is exploring how she uncovers just how deeply controlled her own life is how little she actually enjoys dominating someone who has no say in the matter, and how desperately she feels the need to save both of their lives, and in the process the lives of several other people around them, as she uncovers these deeper levels of corruption and injustice.
Cool. Not that it's important, because obviously the conflict in a story is much more important than certain elements, but about how much DS, or dominance and submission, do you think is in your trilogy?
A lot. I mean, even though Emily grows to learn that she really wants and needs a consenting partner, Wynn is her property. She purchases him from a institution where he's grown, and he stays her property up until the very end of the book. And in fact, along the way, she actually acquires another slave, another human, who actually demands that she take more control for his life in exchange for his cooperation in, you know, overthrowing this corrupt company that they're all trapped by. So it, there's quite a bit of DS in it. It is the basic, it is the foundation for both Wynn and Emily's relationship, and becomes the foundation for Emily and Lindsay's relationship. It's just not in the neat sort of stereotypically clear fashion where the person who's the dominant is always in charge and always right and always in control, because I find that to be, well, to be kind of blunt, I find that to be a lie.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that's how it works in real life. And I, it's funny, I'm writing about something in the middle of the next century, right? And yet I'm concerned about making it seem realistic. And I know my readers respond to that realism. So
sure.
I make my dominance, you know, Emily has flaws. She's wrong at several points in the novel. She has doubts, but her core is very much, she likes to be in charge. She feels a deep sense of duty to be in charge. And that is a core principle, a core part of her identity.
Well, and I think what you've described is, you know, what makes up any good, you know, story, having characters that people can identify with and, you know, be, you know, more realistic. I mean, I know that there are books out there where, you know, people just want, you know, a really quick read that, you know, kind of makes them really, really hot. And it's beyond, basically it's just fantasy fodder.
Mm-hmm.
But I also think that books that talk about BDSM, where the person who's reading it can also identify with the characters, is also a really great story. So they sound awesome. I do know that I went over to Amazon.com and kind of checked them out. I looked at your first book. It has a subtitle, so can you tell me what that subtitle is?
The first book is called The Wonders of Modern Science.
Cool. So it's Beyond His Fur, The Wonders of Modern Science.
Yeah.
And I, you know how Amazon gives you a little bit of a peek inside the book. I did that little peek inside the book. It really kind of hooked me. So, I mean, Rolly, good job.
Thanks.
And I think it would be a great read for anybody who's into kink and BDSM, who's looking for, you know, kind of not necessarily just fantasy fodder, but, you know, also something to think about. So that's really cool.
Yeah, that's good. I like when I used to live in New York City for a while. When I was first published, I lived in New York City. And I had one of my readers once say to me, "You write great one-handed fiction." And I was thinking, what does that mean? And then he explained, he said, "It means I have to keep turning the pages and reading."
Oh, awesome.
And I'm like, okay, that's great. That's great. I would warn people that I've been told by readers of the trilogy, either people have gotten through book two or have read all three books now, that they're tending to get very emotionally involved, which, mm-hmm. you know, and they'll say, "I cried so much," or, you know, I had to go and I had to hug my cat after this, and think like, I will never let them turn you into a creature like this. And I'm giggling about it now because I'm thinking, mm-hmm. yes, that's great. That's how I want you to react. I want you to care enough about the characters that, you know, you get upset when they get upset. You're worried about what's going to happen to them in the next chapter. and you're hopefully cheering for them to be victorious at the end.
Absolutely. And I think those make up the best kind of books where, you know, you are really rooting for the characters and they really, again, let me say, identify, where you can identify with them. So, it's been really great talking to you, and I think everybody should go to Amazon. Are they all available on Amazon?
Yes, I believe they're all available now on Amazon, and if people go to my website, which is just thetammyjoe.com, they can also find links if they want to buy them, let's say, through Barnes & Noble or Smash Mouth if they don't have, you know, a Kindle. There are other ways you can buy it.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, so EPUB or a Nook?
Yeah.
Gotcha. Again, it's been great talking to you, and I think everybody should go out and buy your books because that peek inside really, really intrigued me. So thank you very much for taking some time out to talk to me.
Well, thank you for inviting me, Kimmy.
We also have work from Payne Hawthorne, who writes some wonderful books.
Hi, this is Kimmy from powerandpractice.com, and I'm here with Payne. Payne, do you want to introduce yourself?
Hi, yeah, I'm Payne Hawthorne, and I write erotic books.
Well, that's good.
Thank you, but, yeah.
Tell me a little bit about the stuff that you write.
Mainly, I like to do supernatural stuff, paranormal romance, things like that, because I like them to have abilities and powers. I really like to write about telepathy and them being able to talk to each other inside their minds and feel each other's emotions, because it adds a lot to the sex scenes. It really gives me another whole layer. So
right.
So I really like that, and so I do that. But everything, I mean, my forte is erotica, so it's all leading up to sex. That's all it is. It's just lots.
Gotcha. And if I understand right, you write about some DS and SM and some
I
stuff
do.
Like that.
I my favorite is dominant male, submissive female. And as a ghostwriter, I've actually written four completely normal humans, not paranormal, four BDSM themed books. And I can't tell which ones they are because I ghostwrote them and I had to sign away the rights and my name on them. But yeah, that's my favorite topic and how I live my life.
Oh, okay, cool.
Uh-huh.
What in particular do you like to talk about when you're featuring that in your books?
I like to talk about how it's the surrender and the submission and how that affects how it not only affects the male in question who is being surrendered to, but how good it feels as a submissive female to offer that kind of surrender.
Okay.
Yeah.
So would you say that your books are kind of for somebody who's kind of a little new to the scene and kind of dipping their foot in?
Yeah, some of my stuff's pretty hardcore. But I always try to explain it in the terms that it seems scary, but if you go with it, it turns incredible. It can turn into incredible pleasure. And it's not, and I'm always trying to demystify it as it's not abuse. It's a heightened form of pleasure, and if done correctly,
right?
You know, it's a tricky tightrope. It's a really tricky tightrope because it can easily turn to abuse. So I'm always trying, always, everything I write is to demystify it somewhat and explain the difference, show the difference in my stories between the abuse and when it's not and when it's pleasure.
Can you give us a little hint of what you mean by how you show that it's pleasure and not abuse?
Mostly it's up to the male in question, to the dom. It's the sequence and how they have, it's an art. It's truly an art. And how they have to read their female and read her submission and increase slowly as her body's chemicals start to produce the pain fighting, like the endorphins and stuff and all that, it doesn't just happen immediately. It has to be built on. And, and so to just haul off and spank somebody really hard or to haul off and smack them or whatever, it does, that's abuse. That doesn't work. You have to do it. You have to start out slow and you have to make sure you read your subject. Almost always, I haven't done any like group stuff because it's always one-on-one. I really am into where the hearts get involved, and it's one-on-one and it's between two people and it's incredibly intense.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Well, it would seem like most people who write erotica and things like that, when you're talking about scenes and things like that, it would tend more towards SM, you know, sadomasochism,
right,
than dominance and submission. Do you write about both, and can you talk about the differences?
True. I tend to kind of, well, for me, since I'm a masochist, I tend to blur the line a little bit between masochist and submission and sadist and dominant. To me, it seems really similar. So, and I know it isn't in some. I know that not every single dom is a sadist, but I think most people live in kind of this average land of they have a little bit of both in them.
Mm-hmm.
And the true dominance and true sadist and the true masochist have a lot. And they have to complement each other. It's like two puzzle pieces. They have to find the right person depending on how much of it they have in them. And a big part of masochism, at least for me, a big part of it isn't that I like the pain so much as I like to offer that to the dominant.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where it gets blurred. It's more like, I know I can take it. And for him, it's an incredible gift I can give him. So,
gotcha.
So that's kind of blur the line there. And that's how I tend to write it too.
Can you name any of the books that you've written that are kinky
Well, my own personal books that I have under my name, I have, a trilogy about werewolves.
Okay.
And in the last one, which is Lumen, the Dormant Desires is the series title. And the last one in Lumen, there's quite a bit of stuff going on, pretty kinky stuff. And then I also wrote The Elysium, which I just recently released, about an alien female who's 1,200 years old. And she's searching for a dominant male through the whole thing that she can surrender to. And that one has a lot in near the end. You gotta kind of get through parts of it so you get to know her. But, so that one has a lot in it. Oh, and then Fire Closed in Skin, which is my, I specifically wrote it just to be BDSM. It's about they're demons and so they can, and they're immortal. They don't die. So he can do all kinds of shit to her and she likes it.
Right.
Uh-huh. So that one, Fire Closed in Skin, My Demon Master is probably my kinkiest one so far that I've released under my own name.
Right.
Yeah.
Cool. Do you have a website or anything that people can go to look for you?
Well, PaineHawthorne.com is where I keep a blog. And same thing on all my books are on Amazon, and I have an author page under Payne Hawthorne.
Okay. Well,
it's easy enough to find.
It sounds like there's quite a few good books out to go gobble up and
I've got. I'm getting there. I've got a pretty good collection going. Like, hi.
Well, that's awesome.
Yeah.
All right. Well, then, thank you very much for coming and talking to us on the Kinky Cast.
Thank you. This was fun.
Hi, this is Kimmy Alexander from PowerAndPractice.com, and I'm here with Rachel Kramer Bussell. Hi, Rachel.
Hi.
Would you like to tell us a little bit about you?
Sure. I'm an erotica writer and editor. I've been writing erotica since 1999, and I have edited a lot of kinky stories and anthologies, including Cheeky Spanking Stories and The Big Book of Submission, which is the latest kinky one, which has 69 stories. And yes, that is on purpose. People always ask me, did that just happen? No, there are 69 stories on purpose.
Awesome. So those are all fiction stories?
Well, yes. I mean, they're billed as fiction. I'm sure possibly some of them are true or inspired by real things, but yes, they're fiction. And the 69 stories, I really like editing that many because you can do justice to the topic. So with the Big Book of Submission, there's just all different kinds of BDSM, from some things that are a little more, you know, fantasies or outrageous, and some things that seem more true to life. So, and, you know, just different types of kinks for that I think could appeal to, you know, newbies and, you know, seasoned kinksters.
Gotcha. And is it pretty much a wide range of sexualities and things like that?
Yeah,
you know,
I
like
mean,
male, female, female?
There's some of
whatever.
Almost everything. I would say the majority of the stories are probably male, female, but there are a lot of male subs. There's a lot of female tops, and there's a lot of people kind of just mixing things up in different kinds of ways. So I wrote a story called Reverse Psychology, which is about a man who is a sub, and he doesn't consider himself a sadist, but his dom wants him to hurt her. So he becomes sort of a sadist because he wants to please her, not necessarily because that's his kink, but pleasing her is his kink.
Right. That's cool. Yeah, I mean, I've read quite a few stories, you know, where that happens, and I think it's a little bit more common than most people think, and I think it's probably confusing for a lot of people who are just getting into BDSM, where like the top or the dom has things they want their sub to do to them, as opposed to them doing things to their sub.
And to me, I mean, I definitely, in my personal life and in the writing I do and editing, you know, I love stories where physical action is taking place, where there's spanking or sex toys being used or, you know, rope or whatever. But I also think that so much of what I gravitate towards is the mental aspects of kink, and where someone is doing something pretty much just because someone else is asking them to, and that is what turns them on to be giving up power in that way. And then, you know, to my mind, it's almost secondary than what happens. I mean, not that that's not important what they're doing, but the fact that they're doing it because of this person, that's how they're wired to submit to them, that's fascinating to me. So there's plenty of that. And there is also plenty of spanking and bondage and, you know, action going on in the book as well.
Sure. Well, it sounds pretty awesome. Is that your main book that you have, or do you have other ones?
This one is the latest one. I'm always kind of working on one, and one's, you know, coming up. So I also edit the Best Bondage Erotica series. And that one, I think I've been doing it since 2011. So 2015 one will be coming out in a couple months. And to me, what's really interesting is that each year there's something sort of different about the way the stories play out. Sometimes they're more femdom, sometimes they're more female sub. This one that's coming up has a home decorating, home repair kind of theme. There's a couple stories that involve people fixing up their houses and using everyday items. And I love when erotica writers like repurpose a household item and turn it into a sex toy. I think that can be really fun. And as someone who's moved twice in the last 2 years, I definitely appreciate making the process of moving or anything having to do with your home kinky can be fun, because in real life, moving is really not very sexy in my experience.
Oh, absolutely. I've moved way too many times to enjoy it, and I know exactly what you're saying. Well, that sounds cool. I guess I should have asked this to begin with. These aren't all your stories.
No, these are lots of people's stories. I wrote one of them, the one I was telling you about, and it's really fun for me to just see what other people come up with, because I could be sitting at my computer all day. Like, I could write 69 stories, and maybe there would be some variety, but there would never be the level of variety that's in a book like this, because just different people, their minds work in different ways. And there's some authors I've worked with before and some authors who I haven't published before and hadn't read before. And some of them actually have two stories in here. And they're really, you know, some are just very emotionally intense. You know, they're very, I wouldn't say they're hardcore in terms of the kinks that people are practicing, but they're very emotionally driven. And to me, those speak to me personally the most. But I try to offer a range. So, you know, there's stories taking place at sex clubs and at art galleries and, you know, between former teachers and students and between people who are in committed kinky relationships and between strangers and just all kinds of different people. And I think that's something I look for as well when people are sending me stories. I like the relationships between the characters to be varied. You know, I like some long-term couples, some people who are new to each other, some people who are new to kink, some people who aren't new to kink, because I think that just offers a variety for readers.
Gotcha. Well, I got two questions for you. The first one is for the writers that are listening. Do you accept submissions? I mean, can someone write to you unsolicited in your story?
It depends. Like, not right now, but I will soon probably be accepting more bondage stories for the next bondage anthology I'm doing. I'll probably have that up in December or January. And then I'm just trying to brainstorm, like, what's next? So, yeah, I check my website, which is rachelkramerbustle.com. I post them there. And I love that process because I love working with new writers, especially all of my books have new writers who I've never worked with before. So, yes, I do. But, you know, wait till I put out a call for it.
Sure. And are those paid?
They're all paid.
Oh, okay, great. And the second question I had was, where can we find your books? Are they on your site? Can we get them on Amazon?
They're on my site. They're on Amazon. They're on audiobooks on Audible, and they're also on other platforms. I think they're on Kobo and iBooks. And probably some other places that I don't even know about, but the main places to buy them are linked on my website, and you can also go to my publisher, cleuspress.com, if you want to order directly. But they're available as ebooks and as print books.
That sounds awesome, and we'll make sure that all of those links are on the website so that people can go.
And if you want to find out more about the Big Book of Submission, we're on Tumblr, the Big Book of Submissions@tumblr.com, and also on Twitter @submissionbook.
Awesome. Well, thank you very much for sitting down and talking to me, and I look forward to going and grabbing your book.
Thank you, and I hope you'll send me a story next time.
Oh, sure. I would love to.
Awesome.
We also have talked to IG Frederick.
I'm IG Frederick. I trade words for cash. I specialize in erotic and transgressive fiction and poetry. My erotic short stories appear in Hustler Fantasies, Forum, Foreplay, and Desire Presents, as well as electronic audio and print anthologies. As a femdom, I know firsthand the beauty of symbiotic DS relationships filled with love. As an observer, I see the many ways BDSM turns ugly. I write about abusive and tragic interactions as Corinne DeShale. I own The Man I Adore, who, although dominant in the rest of his life, demonstrates his love by serving as my submissive. You can find more about Corinne DeShale's work at transgressivewriter.com, and you can also find out about IG Frederick's work at eroticawriter.net. I'm going to read a short excerpt today from my novella, Spider's Trouble, which will be coming out from Circlet Press. The quick blurb for the book is, ignoring threats from the owner of the cargo in his spaceship's hold and the anger of his influential and overdue passenger, Spider risks trouble, his life, Tamara, and the rest of his crew to rescue the dominatrix, Lady Cassandra. Now, the excerpt I'm going to read is a short bit of a scene between Cassandra and Tamara. And this takes place after something has happened to Tamara, which has upset her very much. And she goes to the Lady Cassandra, and the Lady Cassandra offers her something that Tamara hasn't had for a long time, which is serious pain. Trigger warning, this scene does involve blood. The lady lifted her knife, a stiletto with a shiny blade and a leather-wrapped handle. Tamara watched, mesmerized, as the sharp point of the blade lowered to the brown flesh of her breast. The point rested for a moment against her skin. Then the lady drew a curved line, the blood welling up in the knife's path. Tamara had to concentrate to keep her eyes open. She wanted to let them roll back in her head as the pain roiled from her breast across her belly to her dripping cunt. She clenched her pelvic muscles and stared at the blood dripping from the lady's knife, mesmerized as the lady ran it across the tip of her tongue and smiled and licked her lips. She wiped the knife with the aseptic cloth, and once again it pressed against Tamara's flesh. Tamara took a deep breath and let the pain drive tension from the muscles of her shoulders and neck, tension she hadn't been aware of until that moment. The lady licked the knife clean again, wiped it with the cloth, and brought it back to Tamara's breast. Pain seared through her and her breath quickened. She could no longer keep her eyes open to watch the red blood spilling across the small mound of her boob. Floating in the euphoria of subspace, she just waited for the knife's return. The next four cuts were much smaller. The lady didn't even pause to lick off the blade. But then she scooped up gore with the blade edge and licked it off. Tamara was panting, but the sound of the lady's breath came heavy in her ear, and the scents of their musk mingled together. And I'll end there. You can learn more about Tamara, Lady Cassandra, and what in the world they're up to on Spider's Trouble in the excerpt that will be in Beyond 50 and in the novella that will be coming out from Circlet Press in the next couple of months.
We also have a little bit from Jolynn Raymond, who is a fabulous author. She writes some really interesting historical romance with a BDSM power dynamic, dominant, submissive sort of theme to it.
I have to say I was intrigued about the whole After 50 Shades movement because the books, whatever you think of them, have brought a lot of people into the aspect of kinky, you know, being kinky, and it has certainly opened up our lifestyle to other people and perhaps is shedding a better light on it. BDSM and kink and all that is very misunderstood. Two of my historical romances are kinky. I also have two collections of short stories, but I think you want to talk about the historical romances. And they are both kinky. One is more of the domestic discipline type of kinky. It's called Lessons of Love, and it takes place in the South, pre-Civil War, and involves a young lady who is wed to a man with questionable morals, and he is harsh, and she finds herself married to him and very vulnerable. She has to accept the fact that he spanks when he's angry with her, and it's really more of a domestic discipline. He's the dominant and she's the submissive. In the beginning, he is a male lead that you wouldn't care for very much. He was really quite despicable, I guess you could say. But through love and time, both hearts are opened up and he becomes redeemed. So we have a little bit of a happy ending there for this book. Not all my books are sunshines and rainbows. I would definitely say that my fiction is not for the people who enjoy light and fluffy, because there's no light and fluffy going on in my books. The content of them, along with being kinky, really has a good dose of dubious consent. I love history, and throughout history, women certainly have gotten a bad deal from men and our situation has begun to improve in a lot of ways, at least here in the United States. But in the past, it was just a simple fact that women were looked at as property. They married who they were told to marry, and once you were married, you performed your wifely duty, whether you liked it or not. So those who get up in arms about the dubious consent issue, really, I can see that they have a right to feel that way. But then I would say just don't read the book, because some of us like that. I was introduced to the whole dubious consent with the Bodice Rippers that I read way back when I was 13, 14 years old. And they're rough and nasty and steamy and lots of sex and pretty graphic. So that, I guess you could classify my books in that category. Another of my works is called Elizabeth's Destiny. It's a kinky historical romance. And Elizabeth is a young woman who defies her mother and the church elders in England where she lives. And then there is an issue of inappropriate behavior. So the church elders have the idea of packing her off to go to India to be trained as a missionary. At that point in history, around 1816, young missionary women were allowed in the Zenana missionaries, and they were actually able to go into the harems. So that is where Elizabeth actually gets a chance to go to India, but she, of course, is not too happy about that. There is a man, Maxwell Harrison, who is not, his job is to train beautiful women, kidnap and train beautiful women for his employer's harem. And his employer has tastes that are on the dark side. He is sadistic and he enjoys women who are trained to be always ready and needy for sex, and also to respond to pain and punishment. So Elizabeth is kidnapped by Maxwell to be taken back to the palace and be trained before she is put into the regular harem of Maxwell's boss. But of course, love has to happen, and he falls for her. And they decide that they need to flee, but that is not so easily had. The blurb that I will read for you is an excerpt where Elizabeth has woken up from, he used ether on her during her kidnapping, and she's woken up in his quarters in the palace, and he has removed her dress, her English way of dressing, you know, with lace up to her throat, and finds herself naked and alone with him, and is, of course, very upset and feisty. So he is determined to bathe her and prepare her, and she is determined that he will not touch her. So I will read the excerpt. Maxwell stalked around the edge of the pool like a panther, sleek body moving with cat-like grace, ready to spring on his prey. Everywhere Beth turned, he cut off her escape, quickly and efficiently, by merely walking around and around the pool. She went to the center, knowing she was trapped, shaking her head, splashing water at him in desperation. Maxwell sneered at her futile attempts to fend him off, and scooped up a sponge and some soap. He jumped in, ignoring the water she splashed his way, dropping the things he carried so he could wrap his arms around her and crush her body to his. Maxwell managed to get one arm around her before she turned into a wildcat in his arms. Now Beth was the predator and Maxwell the prey. She was on the attack. She kicked and clawed and fought his touch, snarling as a shriek of outrage tore from her throat. No! Leave me alone. I won't let you touch me. Her fist beat down on his chest and arms, her legs kicking out over and over ineffectively under the water. Maxwell let out a growl of pure fury and grabbed both of Beth's arms in a punishing grip, shaking her until her teeth snapped together. That's enough. Stop it, you little bitch. Beth, stop right this minute. He easily hoisted her over his shoulder and began to rain slap after slap down upon her wet bottom and thighs, holding nothing back in his anger. She struggled and screamed, her legs kicking wildly as a sting of the spank shot through her entire body. The pain was magnified because of the wetness of her skin and the fact that she'd just been spanked earlier before being put in the pool. Down his hand came over and over until her screams turned to pleas and her pleas to whimpers that could barely be heard above the stinging wet slaps upon her bottom. "Damn it, woman, you are not to fight me. I own you now, and you will learn to obey me." He spanked her hard, determined to make her obey, then harder still, determined to make her submit. "Do you understand? You belong to me, and you will do as you are told." His hand rose and fell in a relentless rhythm without mercy. Maxwell could feel the flesh on her bottom quiver as he slapped her, her body jerking in shock and pain after every blow, but he didn't care. Beth's skin was hot and tight, and his cock swelled with each smack of his palm. He'd teach the little hellion a lesson in obedience that she wouldn't forget. Maxwell spanked her until she lay limp over his shoulder, all resistance long gone, then spanked her some more. He'd be damned if this uppity little bundle of fire was going to get the best of him. Beth would remember who controlled her fate every time she sat down for a good long while. When her whimpers turned to sobs and the heat of her skin burned his hand, Maxwell finally relented and shifted Beth so she was lying in his arms. Beth's eyes were squeezed tightly shut and her lower lip trembled as she fought back the last of her sobs. Maxwell bent down and kissed her tear-streaked face, then began to place small kisses on each nipple, licking quickly and softly, then suckling until they turned into hard little buttons under the laving of his tongue. Beth fought the sensations running through her, but in the end arched her back and moaned. Her body was in turmoil, filled with both pleasure and agony. Her bottom was on fire, but the burning deep within her had returned as well, along with the stinging pain. Maxwell's mouth on her bare breast felt wonderful, and she was dizzy from the feelings rushing through her nipples to her very core. She could feel his hard shaft beneath her body, its tip pressing into her bottom. What was happening to her? That is the end of the excerpt that I will read. My books, of course, if they're kinky historical romance, do contain a lot of kink, Elizabeth's Destiny especially. I enjoy history, and I live a kinky lifestyle. My wife and I live 24/7 BDSM. You could classify our relationship as domestic discipline, but there is certainly kinky play. So I write what I know. And I've been practicing BDSM for quite a long time. So that is the end of this little excerpt. And I hope that you are intrigued by what I read from Elizabeth's Destiny. It is certainly a good book to read after 50 Shades. Something new.
All of this stuff is really amazing, that there's so much originality in ways that you can express BDSM and sexuality and sensuality and just passionate relationships that will add a little spice to your sex life. Just by reading it, you'll get some ideas, I think. I know I do. And then I go and write them down and turn them into other books. But that's the joy of being an erotica writer. But you know what? There is a downside of writing erotica. If you write it really well, you have to keep stopping to go masturbate. There, I said it. It's true. But anyway, check out these little bits of snips from the authors and our field correspondents, Kimiko. But, you know, there's a lot of other authors. And Laura said, why don't we get together and we put together a website and we'll put together a free anthology from a bunch of us writers to say, hey, this is out there. It's beyond 50 Shades. And if you are looking for more along that line of erotica in BDSM, here is a wide variety for you to choose from. The Beyond 50 is at beyond50.com, and we will be having a bunch of different selections put together in an anthology that will be an absolutely free download. It will include a lot of erotica from all sorts of vantage points, from the male dom female sub to female dom male sub to lesbian to gay to and all kinds of, there's some dramatic historical stuff, there are some thrillers, there's some fantasy, and there are some pretty hot memoirs. There's even helpful nonfiction, including my own new book. Haha, you knew there was going to be something in here. I have to pimp myself for the new book. It's called How to Be a Healthy and Happy Submissive, and it's available on Amazon.com. So please go and take a look at it. If you're looking for more information about how you can turn your fantasies into reality, I have put together, from my nearly 20 years of hard-won experience, it's not that I know more than anybody else. I've just done all the stupid stuff and learned the hard way. So I'm sharing my knowledge with all of you. So I hope that if you're looking for nonfiction, you'll seriously consider checking out my book. Again, it's How to Be a Healthy and Happy Submissive. It's available on Amazon.com. It's available in paperback, and it's available in a ebook download.
You have been listening to episode 46B of the Kinky Cast. This has been the second part of our special Beyond 50 presentation. The Kinky Cast is a production of Rooster in the Round. On behalf of Kate Kinsey, I'm Max.